Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. I want you to hear this, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, chapter 1 and verse 4, not our main text, but it says he chose us before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Wow. To the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his what? His glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's a what? It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And there's a purpose for God's grace. It's a very clear purpose lined out for God's grace. In verse 10, that chapter 4, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Literally what he's saying is that we are God's special project. Some of us are more special than others. Turn to Ephesians 4, if you're not there already. It'll be on the screen as well. Reading from the New International Version. Let's all stand. What a passage of scripture. Verse 17. If you're all there, say, woo! All right, you ready? Set, go. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. Verse 20. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God, created to be like God, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And it goes on, which we will look at. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. And it's because of who we are that Paul commands us through this epistle to live differently than the world. And I ask that you would give us living understanding. Come on, pray for your own self tonight. Awaken us, open our hearts, open our ears. May we not be distracted by these devices that are so often distracting to us. And may you speak with clarity, and may we hear with diligence and respond. May the effects of this service be far-reaching even to eternity, God. As your grace is being poured out upon us, may we respond with the commands that are given here. And we thank you that we are indeed created to be like God. So have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd encourage you to take notes. Ephesians is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And I might say that about every book. I don't think I've said that about Leviticus, but I've said it about a lot of different books, and Ephesians is a very powerful book. And because we've been born again, because we've been redeemed, because we've been washed, because we've been cleansed, because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're no longer sinners. We're no longer in the old way, in the old life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, a scripture you should memorize. For if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And the Apostle Paul is talking about these new creation realities of how we're supposed to live in the grace of God. I mean, now that you're born again, now that you're saved, and as I was reading this, he's talking to them and saying you were taught with your former way of life, and he's reminding them of what they've already been taught. But as I was studying and reading, praying, I realized some people here have not been taught. So you might hear it for the very first time. This grace of God, a picture of a Christian, how much we can be like God and live like him and not like the world. Verse 17, look at it with me. We'll go verse by verse, and we're probably going to go on, if time allowing, by the grace of God. We'll go into chapter 5. So I tell you this and insist on it. There's an authority there. Insist on it in the Lord. The authority is that he's insisting as an apostle, as a father, as an apostolic leader. The Apostle Paul insists on it in the Lord. He's insisting in God. It's a heavenly authority. So it's not a suggestion. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, this is not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. No longer live as the Gentiles do. It's a strong, authoritative charge. It's actually a legal decree. He's saying, now, this is it right here. And he says it. No longer. It's prohibitive. You're prohibited from living this way. You're prohibited because of the grace of God, because you're born again, because you've been made new, because you've been washed, because you've been cleansed. An insisting, a prohibitive, authoritative, divine decree, no longer live. I mean, it's very strong. It's not a suggestion. You must no longer live. It reflects, as one scholar said, reflects the binding moral of necessity implied in Paul's solemn charge. Must. You separate yourself from the way that the world lives. The key verse, one of the key verses here, verse 22, look with me, verse 21. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him. So this is referring to when they were taught. He's talking to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying, I taught you this already, but he's reminding them. It's repetitive. Like this morning was a repetitive message to understand about how this church operates in vision. You need to remind yourself of this. I was talking to my son this afternoon, and he was telling me he's gone over into ketosis. How many of you know what that is? He's back on a nutrition plan. And you might not know what that is, but it's putting your body into ketosis, and it's a nutritional statement. And he's saying, I've gone over into ketosis, and I've been, you know, listening to some things. And I said, yeah, we'll share some videos with you to help you. You know why? Because when you learn about, in this case, nutrition, it just helps you understand things better, and it helps you do the deal. The same is true in the Word. When you read the Word and you learn the Word and you memorize the Word and you get it down in your soul, you will have a greater strength and a faith to live how you must. Not like the world, but like we're supposed to live. And he's going to define what that is. So powerful. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted as deceitful desire, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Taught to put off your old self. It's an encounter. It's literally getting rid of something. It's to lay aside. It's in Acts 7, it's used as removing to remove clothes. So if you're going to take off your jacket right now, I mean, if I'm going to take off my jacket right now, Pastor Karen, would you help me? If I'm going to take off my jacket without aid, except for holding my microphone, I literally have to pull it off of my shoulder. I have to pull the sleeve. And I'm removing my jacket. It is an act of my will. I've taken my jacket off. This is the language that he uses. Put off your old self. Because of the grace of God, the power of God, because of the Holy Spirit, you can get rid of your old behavior. You're not in bondage to your old behavior. But it feels like it, yes, but you have to get the truth of God's word down in you. You have to understand that you are not in bondage to live the old way anymore. Take it off. Come on, somebody say, take it off. I've known people that have given their heart to Jesus, but they still wear the nasty garment. It's God's intention to make you like him. It's God's intention to make me like him. And not just to put off the old self. It's like a rotting garment, actively decaying. Influence on your life. It's the old life. It's the old mindset. It's the old way of thinking. It's the works of the flesh. It's your fallen human nature. And you have to take it off. And God will give his grace, give his power, give his enablement to do it. And it's not just that. It's not just taking off your old. It's putting on the new. This is a jacket that represents the new. I had to put it on. This is a picture of being born again. It's a picture of the new life. It's a picture of your resurrected self. Come on, somebody say, put off the old. Put on the new. Come on, somebody say, put on. You're created to be like God. Conformity to God, pattern of God's own nature. It echoes Genesis 1 and 26 and 27. It says, the image of God restored now in Christ. That which is lost because of Adam's failure, sin is passed on from generation to generation. But that which came through the first Adam left through the last Adam. I don't like calling him the second Adam because there's not a third. Left through the last Adam enable us to put on this new life. Some of you can't hear anything I'm saying because I'm wearing this funky jacket. It's new creation identity. Lift a hand to heaven and say, I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. You're new. So, well, I don't feel new. Oh, that's because you haven't changed your mind. Feelings follow thoughts. Pastor Kirsten, I know you want to wear this, don't you? Yeah. Feelings follow thoughts. Say it. Feelings follow thoughts. So if you don't feel new, it's because you haven't really studied to show yourself approved or really received and have your mind illuminated by the truth that you've been born again and that your old life is gone and you've got something new to put on. You've got something new to wear. Get out of your old, nasty, worldly, dead self and put on the new man. It's a beautiful picture of restoration. It's a beautiful picture of morality formed by truth. Let me say that again. Truth is God's word, and when you learn God's word, it shows you what morality is. Morality is not something that you just choose is right and choose is wrong. Morality is shown in Scripture, and he goes on to verse 25, and he says, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. But he gives a number of musts. You must, you must. He's insisting. It's very authoritative. So number one, stop lying. Come on, somebody say, stop lying. Right, that's something you should not do as a believer. You don't lie. Believers don't lie. Believers tell the truth. Liars go to hell. Stop lying. 26 and 27, we didn't read it, but we'll look at it now. In your anger, don't sin. Control your anger. Number two, you're taking notes, write this down. These are things you must do. That's not my words, it's his. In fact, must is not the Greek. It's a combination of two different words. But it's insisting, authoritative insisting what you must do, the word of the Lord. You must stop lying. You must stop giving in to your anger. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Verse 27, and give the devil a foothold. I've talked on that and preached on it. Topos, a place of operation. Verse 28, anyone who's stealing must steal no longer. Everybody say, stop ripping people off. Say it. Stop ripping people off. Stop stealing. I remember years ago, I worked for a company called Mariscott Douglas. It was a hazardous waste company. I was an asbestos removal specialist. And I wasn't saved. And we had to punch a clock. When we showed up, you punch a clock and you work. And I ended up becoming a you know, kind of a supervisor type person. And I worked with this laborer guy, and he would tell me about Jesus. He ended up, well, he was my brother-in-law. And he would tell me about the Lord. I could care less about what he was saying, but he got gloriously saved, and he was telling me the same stuff that my brother told me. And we would punch the clock, and we would go up on the roof where nobody would find us, and we'd lie out in the sun. Oh, yeah, we'd totally rip off the corporation. Don't look at me like that. You guys take naps when you're at work. Some of you steal the pens, make personal phone calls. Don't steal. And then so oftentimes people justify, well, they should be paying me more, so at least I get to make long-distance phone calls, or at least I get to take some pens home. Or no, don't steal. Everybody say, don't steal. Instead, work. Get a job. Bump your neighbor and say, get a job. This is a message of grace. You've entered into grace. You've entered into God's grace, God's power. And as a result of that, you must no longer behave this way. Don't lie. Don't give in to your anger. Don't steal. Be a giver. Everybody say, be a giver. Anyone who is stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that they may have something to share. That's a picture of giving. Number four, watch your mouth. Use your mouth to be on God's building crew instead of the devil's wrecking crew. Where are you getting that? Now, we didn't read all of these verses, but I'm reading them to you now. It goes right on, Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful. I am guilty of sometimes saying things that's not so helpful. Anybody else? Well, we must not do that. That's what Paul's saying. Gives 10 of these musts. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's useful for building others up according to their needs, and it may benefit those who listen. So easy to tear people down. You gotta learn how to build people up. Say a bunch of nice things about people, won't you, this week? Why don't you just practice saying something nice? Amen. In order, the Google reviewer said, amen. This is what it means to live by grace. It means to don't lie. It means to control your anger. It means to build one another up. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling. Get rid of all bitterness? I don't have bitterness in my life, but I've found at seasons where I've found in the past a residue of bitterness. So in other words, most of the bitterness is gone, but there's just a little bit left. All bitterness. Everybody say all. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. Get rid of the attitude that you want to beat people. Stop it. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, that is so powerful. It's a scripture that's used to show the personhood of the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Because you can't grieve a soap dish. Let me go over here. You can't grieve an inanimate object. You can't grieve something that's not real. It's a person. You can be grieved. I can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And these behaviors, lying, stealing, not working, bitterness, anger, as it lists. These are things that grieve the Holy Spirit. So, you know, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Yeah, well, he's gonna come, but you gotta get rid of your nasty mouth. Preach, Pastor Daniel. Preach. You gotta get rid of your lying. You gotta get rid of your stealing. You can't expect a move of the Spirit without holiness and purity, without generosity and truth and morality based upon Scripture. You can't hold on to your new life and expect your old life, pardon me, everybody say your old life, take it off. Take off your old life. You can't get the new if you're holding on to the old. If you're living in the old pattern, if you're living like the world, if you're living like the Gentiles, you're expecting God's power to come? You and your pornography problem? It's not gonna happen because you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Go to chapter 5 and verse 1. Follow God's example. God's example. Follow God's example. Well, where do we see that? We see it in the Word. I mean, how would you know what God's example is? His invisible qualities is seen in creation, but we see it in the Word. So you see the way that you're supposed to behave in the Word. So you take your life and you overlay it on top of the Word. How are you lining up? Because if it's not lining up, then you have to course correct. Thank you, Pastor Karen. I got an amen from Pastor Karen. Everybody say course correct. Yeah, you got to put on the new. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. This is Ephesians 5, verse 1, verse 2. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. This is how we're supposed to live. Walk in the way of love. You know, I know more about loving now than I did when I was 20-something. Marriage has helped me profoundly. And I haven't figured it out yet because things change. Life changes. The seasons of life change. And it's this great adventure of learning to love my wife and her learning to love me and continuing to love each other. It has nothing to do with emotions. Some of you have missed it altogether. Jesus did not feel like hanging on the cross because it was something he just wanted to do. No, he did it so that he could purchase you, so that he could purchase me. It was love that held him on those nails, the love that he had for you and me. He saw the end and set his face like a flint to fulfill it. And you and I are a result of it. Love. How do we know what love is? But one man lays down his life for another. Love, the love of God. Oh, the love of God. We're supposed to love each other like that. But we say, well, Pastor, I fall short. I know. Keep putting on the new man and keep asking God to release his power to you and change. Keep changing. Keep dying to self. I heard Dr. Morocco say years ago, you don't know a thing about love till you've lived a whole lifetime in Christ. Goes on to say, verse 3, but among you must not even be a hint of sexual, not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because those are improper for God's holy people. So he's telling them you're saved by grace. He told them that in earlier chapters. And then he's telling them, I already taught you this, but let me tell you again, because you're supposed to put on the new man. You're supposed to put on this, put off your old life, put on your new life. The new life doesn't do all of these things. You're not supposed to have sexual immorality. There should not be any perversion in your speech, in your actions, in your thoughts. Not even a hint of it. You can tell a lot by what people say and the jokes that they tell. And before you just, you know, get all upset at people, all of us are in process. Come on, raise your hand if you're in process becoming more like Jesus. Yes, yes. Have mercy and grace for people. It doesn't mean you don't correct them. But it's wonderful if you could correct yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit. People have been so sexually saturated, everything's been pornified. It should not be in our speech. It should not be in the jokes that you tell. Not if you're born again. I mean, these are things that we must do. Verse 4, nor should there be obscenity. Listen, if you curse like obscenity, if you have obscenity in your speech, it should not be that way. That's what he says. Somebody said, excuse my French. It's not French. Karen will tell you that. I'm not offended at all when I'm at the gym or I'm with someone who doesn't know God. They still got the old life. They can drop F-bombs all they want. I am shocked when a believer curses. Well, I just can't help myself. My father was a curser. No, that's your old self. Put off. Put off. Come on, somebody say, take it off. I was going to tell a story about how my mother washed my mouth out with soap, which cured me for a season. But it was really Jesus that permanently took out the cursor. So do you curse, Pastor? I think I can say never. I can't remember the last time I've cursed. Really? Pastor Karen's like, I remember. It was last week. No, it's I can't remember the last time. I don't drop F-bombs. I don't say S-H. I don't do that. I don't say, it doesn't come out of my mouth. Why? I don't know. When I got born again, something happened. It's like instantly stopped cursing and never cursed again. Really? I'd say biblical curses like, you know, donkey in the King James, which would be offensive to some people, so I'm not going to say it right now, but it's Jack, you know, the rest of it. You know, a great way to curb your mouth is pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit a lot. It will help you. Or you can carry a bar of soap around you with you, and that'll help you as well. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't watch your talk. Verse 4, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Really comes from the heart. See, the problem is a person who does these things is he goes on to say, look at verse 5, for this you can be sure. And I'm reading verse 5 so you don't get mad at me before I say it. I'm going to say it after he says it. For this you can be sure, no immoral or greedy person, such a person as idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not partner with them. He's saying, if you have these things in your life, if you lie, if you steal, if you cheat, if you give yourself to rage, if you have sexual immorality, he's listing these things and he's saying, that's your old life. I taught you before, put on the new life. Put off the old, put on the new. But if you're living that way, be sure you're not going to heaven. That's what he says. Lift your hands to heaven and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, the grace of God is to change you. Let no one deceive you. There are people out there that would deceive you. For because of such things, the wrath comes on those who are disobedient. God's wrath, listen, God's wrath can come on you. It's not taught too often. I think I've experienced God's discipline. I'm sure of it. And I welcome your discipline now. If I need anything that needs to be corrected, oh, correct me. I'd better have it now than when I'm standing before God's throne in judgment on that day, the judgment seat of the believer. There is a wrath that comes from God that will come on those who live in such a way. I don't care if they call themselves a Christian. Somebody called themselves a Christian as much as they want. Christian is as Christian does, baby. When you're born again, You live different. So I know some people like that. I know. You might be sitting next to someone. What do? Repent. And the other thing is, you don't spend time. You don't have fellowship. You can minister to them, but you don't partner with them. Have nothing. What does it say? Therefore, verse 7, do not be partners with them. He goes on to say in verse 8, as the keyboard comes, live as children of the light, verse 8. You were once in darkness, but now are the light of the world. Light in the world. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10 says, find out what pleases the Lord. Was wrestling with a number of things this afternoon, contending, believing, praying. And I went off into this incredible nap. My God, it's just awesome. Only lasted about 20 minutes, but it was glorious. And as I woke up, I opened my eyes and I see on my windowsill a picture of the Good Shepherd with the sheep over his neck and another sheep walking by him. It's a carving that came from Bethlehem made out of olive wood. And it just resonated off the windowsill. And I thought, and all the contending and all the believing and all the decreeing and all the vision, I just all of a sudden had this, he's got me. He's my shepherd. And I just felt the rest and the peace of God come on me in my home. So I was lying next to my beautiful wife as she was napping. And I thought, God, you're amazing. I said, Lord, is there anything I need to do? And I just felt like he said, rest. I got you. I thought, all right. My wife and I, we woke up and I said something to the effect that God's got us. Maybe you don't understand what that means. God has got you if you'll allow him to have you. If you put off the old and you put on the new and just rest in him, he's got you. He's got you. He's carrying you. He's performing and perfecting everything concerning you. He's causing you to will and act according to his good purpose. The grace of God, yes, and it's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God, salvation. But the renewing of your mind, the putting off of the old life and the putting on the new is not something that God does. You have to do it. You have to say, oh, this is a new way of living. So I have to live this way. And the Lord would say, yes, unless you'd like to be a son of perdition or a son of disobedience, or maybe you're not born again. Because when you're born again, you no longer really desire to do those things. Your desires shift. And he releases a power on you, the grace of God, the power of God, the enablement of God, to put off the old life, to put off the lying, to put off the cheating, to put off the coarse joking, the hints of sexual immorality or sexual immorality themselves, to put off all of these things. He says, I must insist in the Lord. It's a divine authoritative decree from the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. Stop behaving like this. I taught you already. Some of you have never heard it before, but you heard it now. Put off the old self. Put on the new. Why? Because you were created to be like God. Lift your hands to heaven. Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. That's interesting. I'm somewhat of a slow learner in certain areas. It's taken me years to figure out really the thing. I don't know why, but to find out really what pleases Karen. But I'm getting better, aren't I? I'm improving, I think. Thanks. Her love language is acts of service. So if I serve her, If I serve her, if I lift the load and help do things that are part of her area of responsibility, if I make things lighter for her, she just bats her eyes. Oh. Doesn't really sound romantic, but apparently it is for her. If I help, if I do things that are in your normal area of responsibility to help you to do things, it just touches your heart. It to you expresses that I love you. That's how she feels loved. You know how the Lord feels loved? By doing these things. Not lying. By not stealing. By obeying his word. If you love me, he said, you'll obey my word. Find out what pleases the Lord. Verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Fruitless deeds of darkness. Fruitless. I like that. There's no fruit that comes forth. Not fruit of the biblical standards. It's bad fruit. Fruitless. Barren. Even though it might seem like it's producing something good, if it's apart from God, it's not. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds. In fact, expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather expose them. Look at verse 11. Ephesians 5 and 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, I'm telling. Yeah. Somebody, I ain't no rat. I am. Oh yeah, I'll expose you. Totally. I'll throw shade and expose you every day of the week. Why is that? Because I have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Don't try to get me into your scheme. I'm born again. I'm new. I don't live that way. I'm not going to partner with your anger, with your scheming, with your lying, with your corruption. Not going to do it. Can't do it. Going to expose you. Come on. Now, there's a right way to do that, which is not on Google Review. If I could just go ahead and take a sucker punch once again. Even though the exposing is error and misunderstanding and perception. 907-357-2065. I dare you, please call. We'll help you. Because the way that you're perceiving it is perhaps through your colored lenses and you just need some help. But things need to be exposed. When there's corruption, it needs to be exposed. If there's sin in the church, it needs to be exposed. If there's sin in your life, it needs to be exposed. If there's sin in your family, it needs to be exposed. One of the ways the enemy operates is in darkness. He operates in darkness. Verse 12, it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. Oh my. Verse 13 is a favorite verse of mine. We're almost done. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. I want you to read that with me in whatever version you have. But everything, verse 13 of Ephesians 5, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Say it again. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. If everything is illuminated by light. The picture of what that means is that when the light of God's word, the light of God's righteousness and truth, when the light of the Lord shines upon something and reveals it for what it is, it means that it becomes light. It changes. So you take your corruption, you take your perversion, perhaps you take these issues that you're struggling with and you run to God and you ask him to heal you and set you free and you ask him to lift this darkness off of your mind and your thinking. You cannot behave that way. You must not. I insist on it in the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, you must not behave this way anymore. This is holiness. This is purity. I thought we were having a revival tonight. This is revival. It is revival when people turn from darkness to light. It is revival when people lay down their wickedness and their scheming and decide they don't want to be a son of perdition, a son of disobedience, and they don't want the wrath of God. They want to serve God. Please hear me. It's not a condemnation. It's a course correction. And if you're calling yourself a believer, you must change that. That's what repentance actually is. And I've known many people who say, I've prayed this sinner's prayer and nothing worked. I entered that altar cold, gave my life to Jesus, and nothing changed. That is because you didn't change. You didn't change the way you think. You must change the way you think. And it's by your way. You're waiting for a feeling to come. Now, feelings follow the change of your behavior. You change the way you change. And there is a moment, of conversion where he takes out that heart of stone. And it is supernatural, but you must renew your mind. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, verse 17, don't be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. You can put weed in there if you want to. Don't get drunk on anything. Don't be intoxicated. The issue is intoxication. How come you're always picking on weed? Because they legalized it and it's a gateway drug. I just saw that they're getting ready to try to change the classification of the plant on a federal level. Jesus, help us. Don't be intoxicated by anything. Don't be intoxicated by money. Don't be intoxicated by food. Don't be intoxicated by caffeine. Don't be intoxicated. I don't think there's anything wrong with caffeine. And honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with alcohol so long as you don't get drunk. Now, weed, I mean, how are you going to smoke that and not get high? I don't drink alcohol. And we have asked leaders not to do that either. And my staff doesn't drink alcohol. And the reason is we never want to be in bondage, never want to be subject to something that could possibly cause reproach on the church or on me. How would you like it if you were like walking through with a 12-pack of Budweiser? Hey, pastor, how you doing? Oh, just getting some beer batter halibut. That's what we're doing. Praise God. Oh, I'll eat beer batter halibut, but somebody else is getting the beer. Amen, amen. I ain't getting it. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Intoxicants are really affecting the church. Almost done. Be filled with the Spirit. Be in church. And be thankful. Verse 19. Speak to one another. This is Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speak to another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, verse 21 talks about submitting one to another. You have a very real enemy, the devil and his demons. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So you've been created to be like God. Put off your old self, put on the new. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Holiness matters. Purity matters. You're a Christian, these are the ways that you behave, and there's many others too. And it's not some list that you just have to follow. It should come out of your life, out of a relationship with Jesus, not some rules and regulations to try to white knuckle it and hope that you can live like God. I'm gonna try to be. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that'll help you, and he'll give you a desire to let those things go. It's a process, and the process is called sanctification. But don't be deceived. Be who you really are. Children of the light.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.